So we do welcome you to our broadcast. We'd like to begin this morning with a prayer, if we could. Our great and glorious God, we come together this morning to praise and worship you with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. We thank you for sending your Son Jesus to save us from our sins. We ask this morning that you make us more like Jesus. Help us to understand you better. We ask that you help us to be people of your word, that we might serve you by the strength that you give us. Help us to pray with more conviction and realize that we can do nothing fruitful without your Son Jesus. We thank you for the help you have given us and ask your pardon for our sins. When we face trials and temptations, help us to know what to do and to lean upon you and not on our own wisdom. When we ask for your help, let us expect to get what we ask for. Our prayer is that we will trust in your promises and increase our faith day by day, that we may become profitable servants. Help us to trust you, that you will supply our every need according to the riches of the glory in Jesus the Christ, knowing that you are able to make us abound in all grace, and that we can also abound in every good work. We also pray that you give us the desire to abide in you and in your word, and that we will call upon you not only in the days of trouble, but also in our days of blessing. Help us to live, as the Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians, that the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. May we honor you and your Son all the days of our life. We pray that our efforts today will be edifying and that Jesus will be honored and exalted. Thank you for the blessings that faith and works will accomplish in our behalf. We give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus our Savior's name. Amen. And Brother Jack will begin now.
Good morning. I know that some of you are working, telecommuting from home. And so I just want to assure you that even though changes have happened, I am not in my bathrobe giving this lesson. Rather, I am in my pastel pink, my pastel red shirt with blue tie. But what I wouldn't stress is that thought came to me that years ago when I started working for the government, men wore suits. All managers had a suit on. Lady workers all wore dresses. My, how things have changed. And that kind of brings me to the thought that we have today. Because as times have changed, this question that is on the board behind me or on your screen now, sin, why is it so bad? Let me pause here just for a second to say that the PowerPoint that you are seeing, if it's undecipherable, I apologize. It is on our website, so you can follow along with that if you care to. Those of you that are listening through the MP3 off of the website, my apologies, we can only do one of two things, and I'm not technically literate to be able to do otherwise. So bear with us as we look at this question. Sin, why is it so bad? How can a loving God, someone asked, how can a loving God send people to eternal hell for a momentary infraction? That's a good question. Someone else says, it's not so bad. At least I'm not as bad as blank. You fill in the blank. Or when we're talking about sin, the other thought that has come up is, can't the scales of justice balance out in the final judgment? When God sits on his throne and the scales of justice are, I don't know about that. Can the scales of justice balance out the final judgment? So we need to understand what sin is. It is bad. Today, our text, if you're following along, will be in Psalms 32. Psalms 32. And as we look at this passage, we're going to do some deep diving, so that we can see the nature of sin and see what it's all about. Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2 read, "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit." So, what is sin? Well, if we look at the definition of sin, we find that there are two words. One word in Hebrew, forgive me, Denny, if I've mispronounced it, chata in Hebrew, or harmatia in Greek. It means to miss the mark, to err, or be mistaken. It is to do wrong and violate God's law. Sin is missing the mark. Simply missing the mark. And as you see in this picture here, you see the arrow target, and you see arrows scattered all around. It's important for us to understand that it doesn't matter how close we come to the target. We've missed it. It doesn't matter how close. This is not horseshoes. It is missing the mark. Well, there's another word there in Psalms chapter 32, and that was the word trespass. In Hebrew, makar, or Greek, paraptoma. You come up with your pronunciation. It literally means to sideslip or to lapse or a deviation. It can be unintentional or a willful transgression. Trespass is rebellion. That's a little bit interesting. That's getting a little bit closer as we look at these words. The next word we're going to look at is iniquity. Avon, Hebrew, or arachia in Greek. It is perversity, depravity. It is the guilt, the injustice, the unrighteousness of wrongness of character, the iniquity. So as we look at what sin is, well, maybe to borrow a line from Shakespeare, sin, with what shall I compare thee? Sin is missing the mark. But let's take a minute to explore how it compares to things that we can relate to. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 reads that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness. In John chapter 8, in verse 12, we read that Jesus is the light of the world. So what is sin? How can I relate sin to this discussion? Well, years ago, I went with family to Carlsbad Caverns. Carlsbad Caverns, Carlsbad, New Mexico. You're some 850 feet deep with rock all around you. And they turn out the light. The light. I've been in places where literally you couldn't see your hand in front of you. But the stillness of the darkness of the absolute darkness. The absolute non-light weighs down on you. Sin is like that. It separates us from God, Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. Sin is anti-God. But it has more characteristics than that. Another characteristic of sin is it is indelible. Indelible. Cheryl would shoot me if she had to replace all the clothing that I have ruined because I forgot to take the ink pen out of a pocket. What happens when you don't, when you wash your clothing with an ink pen in your pocket? Well, you get an ink stain. And it don't matter. You can scrub it with Gooby Gone, with Resolve, with Clorox bleach. It ain't going to come out. That shirt or that pair of pants is fit for nothing but a rag. A filthy rag. Sin is inadvertent or intentional. The guilt of the iniquity of sin. It is sin that defiles man, is what James tells us in James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. It is the temptation when lured and enticed by desire, and when conceived, gives birth to sin. When fully grown, it brings death. James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. So sin is not something to be made light of. It is not something that is small and minute for those that are of legalistic minds. It has a consequence. But as we look at sin and it's defined as missing the mark, it brings us to the question, if it's missing the mark, what's the mark? What is the mark? Well, that's pretty plain through Scripture. In Leviticus chapter 11, verses 44 and 45, and again it's repeated in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16, "You shall be holy, for I am holy, says the Lord God." Holy. Even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be, what? Holy and blameless before Him. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness. What is the mark? The mark is to be holy. But let's look at this mark. The law of Moses taught the destructive nature of sin. It taught that sin required payment. A sacrifice. An innocent animal was killed in the place of the worshiper. It's destructive. The tabernacle itself, and later the temple, demonstrated that the barrier of sin separates God from His worshipers. Why do I say that? Remember, in the most holy of holies was where the Ark of the Covenant was kept. And in between the two angels, or the two images on top of the Ark of the Covenant, was the meeting place of God. But who could go in there? Who could enter into the place of God, where God resided with His people? One man, once a year, with blood and with incense, could pierce that veil, could pierce that barrier to be with God. The tabernacle and the temple, that's what the Hebrew writer said, that as long as the tabernacle, as long as the temple still remained, there was a reminder of sin, that barrier between God and His people. Well, what is the mark? The mark is that even as He chosen us before Him, chose us in Him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will. To be holy is the word hagenos, means to be set apart for God's use, to be exclusively His. Belonging to Him. Don't get too far from the mic. To belong to Him. What does that mean? We read in Romans chapter 6 that it is no longer I who live. Paul quoted Galatians chapter 2, verses 21. Not longer I who live, but Christ Jesus lives in me. Why? Because we have died to sin. And we live for righteousness. We are made holy through His sacrifice, belonging to Him. Well, what about blameless? Blameless is omnops, meaning without blemish, free from guilt, from fault or spot. Remember that shirt? Remember that shirt with that ink stain in it? Through the blood of Jesus, no longer are we filthy rags, but we're whiter than snow. Let's go back. Look at Psalms chapter 32, verses 1 through 2. Blessed is the one whose transgression is what? Forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. You see, while sin is so bad, we have hope. We have hope. We have hope that that sin may be forgiven, or the transgression may be forgiven, that the sin may be covered, and that the Lord does not account our iniquity, and that we don't lie to ourselves, that there's no deceit in the Spirit, that we don't just think we're following Him, but that we are. Well, let's look at this. Transgression is forgiven, meaning carried off. Sin is covered, that means hidden. Accounts no iniquity, does not account it. Spirit, there is no deceit. There's no treachery. There is no guile. Again, think about Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. Well, let's look back. Because while David is reminding and reflecting on his sin, let's look at the impact it had on him. Verses 3 and 4 of Psalm 32, he said, "For when I was kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For night and day, your hand was heavy upon me, and my strength was dried up as by the heat of summer." The effect of sin on this person, David, was enormous. Question. Do you ever feel that God is against you? David did. But why? Why? Because of sin, trespass, and iniquity. But they can be forgiven. You see, he continues in verse 5 to say, "I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I laid myself bare to you, God. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." He confessed to speak the same as God. He agreed with God of what was right. God was right, and he was wrong. He agreed with God's judgment against his sin. When he confessed, when he repented and turned to God, then God forgave him the iniquity, and his soul was whiter than snow. Verses 6 and 7. David is still talking to God, therefore, and he says, "Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found, surely in the rush of great waters. Cannot reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance." Ah, the confidence, the trust that he has in God. That's ours. That is ours. If we are with God. Today is the day of salvation. Who would have thought a month ago or a year ago that we would be sheltered from one another, unable to share the body, the encouragement that they have, that we have, as we build up one another in love? Who would have thought it? Now's the day of salvation. David is saying here in verse 6, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. There is a time when time will be no more. There will be a time when we cannot correct the wrongs. There is going to be a time of judgment when we will look like those filthy rags. Verses 8 and 9. Here is God's reply to David. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle. It will not stay near you. Look for God's guidance. Look for His counsel. Ignore it not. Be wiser than a dumb mule. And I could launch on to all those stories you've heard, may have even told a couple times about the farmer that had the mule that just could not learn. And he had to wrap him across the head with a 2x4. Was out in the field and the mule wouldn't turn around like it was supposed to. And the farmer wrapped him across the head with a 2x4. Finally, the third time, that was it. The mule was killed. He didn't get the lesson. He didn't get the lesson. The children of Israel, God taught over and over again, as the Hebrew writer writes, in many different ways, in many different manners. But they turned from Him and were condemned. Well, this is the end of those that do not come to God, who do not confess Him to be their God and Master. Psalm 32, verse 10 and 11, many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice. Oh, rejoice and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. How do we do that? We praise Him in our action, in our tongues, in what we do. We bring glory to Him, even as David did. Well, really, I'm at the conclusion of our thoughts this morning. And this sums it up well. You see a target, an archery target, on the screen behind me. You see all the arrows that miss the target. You see, Paul writes, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's the problem. There's the sin. Missed the mark. What do we do about that? What do we do about that? Well, thankfully, we have a pattern. That pattern David showed us was to confess, to return to God. And then we see, as Paul wrote to the Ephesians, the Colossians, the Philippians, that it is the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sins. We come into contact with that blood when we are obedient to faith and we are immersed, putting to death ourselves, that we might rise in newness of life, to walk righteously by faith in Him. This morning, if you have a need, whether to be immersed, give us a call at Gregory Boulevard, one of the other local congregations, and we will help you with that need. If there's some other need, whether to bring yourself back to God, you need prayers for the brethren, let us know. We're eager to help you.
Thanks, Jack. We appreciate your lesson this morning. We don't hear a lot of lessons anymore, I don't think, about sin. Sin's been watered down in our modern times. We don't hear the word used very often anymore. We hear words like, well, it was just a little sin, or I messed up, or I just wasn't thinking. But sin is a serious thing with God. So we're going to close with a prayer here in a little bit. I will say, some of you may have had a lag in the voice or a short pause, and we have asked about that, and the consensus seems to be that it is because all of the traffic on the internet. So anyway, we will close with a prayer, and so if we can hopefully that you have benefited from a lesson this morning. Our Heavenly Father, how thankful we are that we can come to you. We are thankful for the lesson we heard this morning. If there is something that applies to us, if there is a sin, a secret sin, however small, we know that is so offensive to you. We pray that we may do our very utmost to do your will in the coming days. Help us to remain strong in the faith during this time of what some would call crisis. We know that we trust you and know that things will turn out according to your will and not the will of man. Help us to walk uprightly before you and all our ways and all our days. We thank you and give you praise in the name of Jesus. Amen.